weed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, September 21st, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We made it to the middle of the week. It's hump day, and we've got plenty of news to get to you. We are closing in on marijuana election night 2016, getting all of our big production ready for you on Tuesday, November 8th. We're going to be live from 6 p.m. to midnight Eastern time here at CannabisRadio.com, bringing you all the latest returns as the polls close from east to west in the nine different states that are voting on statewide marijuana reforms, either legalization or medical marijuana. It's going to be an exciting night. Make sure you get the hashtag MJ Election Night. Follow that on Tuesday, November 8th for all the latest news as well. On today's show, we've got all sorts of great information for you in the cannabis community. At half past, we're going to continue our marijuana election night coverage, our preview of the nine states that are voting on marijuana reforms. And we're going to replay our coverage of North Dakota because it hardly gets any mention in the marijuana media. But North Dakota is voting on medical marijuana. We talked with Ray Morgan from the North Dakota Measure 5 campaign, and we'll find out what's going on in that state with its possibility of passing medical marijuana. It's going to be an interesting vote there. We've also got our Hemp Day Hump Day update. We'll get to that at the end of the first hour with Doug Fine, the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail. He contacts us every other week or so to give us the latest updates on what's happening in the world of industrial hemp. A lot of crops out there being planted, harvests are happening, and we'll find out the latest from Doug at the end of the first hour. Also coming up in the first hour, we've got our drug war data mining segment, and we're taking another look at the contributions by the alcohol industry against the initiatives to legalize marijuana in the United States. And we ask the question, are they really that concerned about marijuana legalization as a threat to their profits, or are these just a few of the alcohol industry players that are acting on their own? Before that, we'll get to our Behind the Headlines segment, where all of the tabloids are blaring the headlines that Brangelina is no more. Angelina Jolie is divorcing Brad Pitt after 12 years of marriage because he smokes pot. And we're going to talk about that and Angelina Jolie's mistaken views on pot and parenting right after the Cannabis Radio News. And in the headlines today, we've got a story coming to you from our White House, our Attorney General, making a profound statement about marijuana that contradicts decades of propaganda. We also look at Ohio, where the Supreme Court has settled some questions about attorneys and the medical marijuana industry. The city of Nashville has moved forward with its decriminalization, the first in the state of Tennessee. We've got a harrowing story coming out of California where four men were held against their will on a pot farm. We've got a story coming out of National Public Radio across the border in Mexico, a new method for getting marijuana into the country. And Kevin Sabet is building up his resume and his portfolio by traveling across the country, taking your money to propagandize against the reforms in nine states this year. That's all in hour one. Then stay tuned for hour two, Toker Talk Radio. Our phone lines are open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. We'll take a deeper look at the NFL's backwards marijuana policy, a look at Senator Lindsey Graham's evolution on medical marijuana, and the rest of the news stories of the day. Plus your calls, again, at 650-LEGAL-MJ. I'm Radical Russ, live in beautiful Legal Potland, Oregon. We're back with the Cannabis Radio News right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
cannabis use isn't the only thing growing.
So are we.
Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
Tommy Chong Show on Cannabis Radio. You know, about this podcast, what I really want to do from now on is to solve world problems. I feel like my job is to calm everybody down and focus on how we can save this planet.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, where we don't change our mind on decriminalization during an election year.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Wednesday, September 21, 2016. Attorney General Loretta Lynch contradicted decades of federal government propaganda yesterday when she stated that marijuana use is not a, quote, specific gateway, end quote, to heroin abuse. The so-called gateway drug argument is still a prominent part of the White House's official repudiation of marijuana legalization, which it says, quote, would increase the availability and use of illicit drugs, end quote. As reported by Mike Adams in Mary Jane, Lynch was speaking in Kentucky as part of National Prescription Opioid and Heroin Epidemic Awareness Week when she stated that a person with a heroin problem, quote, very often started with a prescription drug problem, end quote. In response to a question about marijuana's culpability in the opioid epidemic, Lynch stated, quote, it isn't so much that marijuana is the step right before using prescription drugs or opioids, adding, quote, it's not as though we are seeing that marijuana is a specific gateway, end quote. Far from being a gateway drug, recent studies have shown access to cannabis reduces the prescription of, the use of, and overdoses from opiates. The Ohio Supreme Court has ruled that attorneys are free to advise their clients who are engaged in the newly legal medical marijuana program without running afoul of ethics regulations. The Cleveland Plain Dealer reports that an advisory opinion issued in August suggested that attorneys could not advise patients and entrepreneurs on matters related to marijuana, since it remains a federally illegal substance. On Tuesday, the court amended the Ohio Rules of Professional Conduct to allow attorneys to, quote, assist a client regarding conduct expressly permitted authorizing the use of marijuana for medical purposes, end quote. However, the new rules do not clarify whether attorneys themselves may use medical marijuana or be involved in the marijuana industry. Nashville's Metro Council has voted to become the first city in Tennessee to decriminalize personal possession of cannabis. The Tennessean reports that the council voted 35-3 to give Nashville police the option to cite offenders carrying a half ounce of marijuana or less with a civil violation punished by a $50 fine or 10 hours of community service. Nashville Mayor Megan Berry has said she intends to sign the ordinance, noting that police will still have the discretion to make a misdemeanor arrest under state law, punishable by up to a year in jail and a $2,500 fine. Ironically, some judges observe that purging the civil marijuana infraction from a citizen's record may be more difficult than purging the current criminal charge. Meanwhile, some Republican state lawmakers are threatening to introduce a bill that would suspend state highway funds to cities that don't criminally punish pot offenders. Four men in California say they have escaped from an illegal marijuana grow where they were held captive for 6 months. Associated Press reports that Calaveras County Sheriff Captain Jim Macedo says his office has arrested two women who ran the grow site. Two of the men were recruited to work as trimmers and were then allegedly held against their will at the camp. Later, two more men were allegedly captured and held by the women. The men escaped in July and found their way to the hospital for treatment of bruises and black eyes. The two women have been charged with suspicion of human trafficking, kidnapping, battery with serious bodily injury, terrorist threats, and drug charges stemming from the 23,000 cannabis plants found at the clandestine grow site. NPR reports that Mexican police have seized a van equipped with a 10-foot air cannon capable of blasting a 60-pound bale of marijuana over the U.S. border. This is just the latest method drug smugglers are using to breach our borders. Other methods still being used include catapults, remote-controlled drones, sophisticated tunnels, private aircraft, boats, and even small submarines. National marijuana prohibition advocate Kevin Sabet is logging thousands of frequent flyer miles to speak out against reform initiatives on the ballot in 9 states this election. KFSM-TV reports that Sabet, head of the Project SAM anti-marijuana organization, was in Springdale, Arkansas Tuesday to warn residents of the natural state to reject the 2 medical marijuana initiatives on the ballot, Issue 6 and 7. Today, Sabet is speaking in Boston, Massachusetts, against the Question 4 initiative that would legalize adult use of marijuana. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Wednesday, September 21, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of 4, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I opted for convenience to use my personal email account.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Hey, everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we take a look at the celebrity tabloids, which are blasting the news that Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are no more. The breakup of Brangelina has been prompted by Angelina Jolie filing for divorce after 12 years of marriage to actor Brad Pitt. And according to the most prominent of the sources out there, TMZ, that is reporting on this, it wasn't cheating. It wasn't Brad Pitt fooling around with other women that broke them apart, but it was marijuana. Specifically, the fact that Brad Pitt loves marijuana and has for a long time. Angelina Jolie has decided that creates an inappropriate environment for their children. So these are according to the initial reports in the tabloids. Again, these are rumors, unconfirmed at this point, but sourced by some people close to the couple. And this is a very troubling development. I'm kind of disappointed in Angelina Jolie over this. The use of marijuana by Brad Pitt is something that's been known for a very long time. We saw him first in the movie True Romance, and in that movie there was a lot of reference to pot smoking, and it's been there's been numerous stories about Brad Pitt and his use of marijuana. Quentin Tarantino talked about smoking with Pitt, and on Real Time with Bill Maher, Brad Pitt was once on the show in 2009 talking about the joints he had rolled at a party. He and Bill Maher talking about the fun they had shared over marijuana. And this was fairly well known, but Angelina Jolie has been making some, has been pressuring him about this use. It first came to my attention in around 2011. He had an interview with Parade magazine where he said, quote, "I started to get sick of myself sitting on a couch, holding a joint, hiding out. It started feeling pathetic." He also questioned whether or not his marriage to Jennifer Aniston that broke apart could have been blamed a bit on his cannabis use. This is very disturbing to me because this assumption that people that use cannabis in their personal life are somehow creating a bad message or environment for the children is one of the saddest, most hackneyed excuses I've ever heard. And I've heard it many a time in the cases of people that end up going to Child Protective Services, where one ex is vindictive and uses the other ex's cannabis use against them for the purposes of the family court, as far as observations and visitation rights and custody rights over the children. And it's always the marijuana-using parent that gets screwed. Even in the states where marijuana use is accepted for medical or even recreational purposes. Now, there are a handful of states that have moved forward with protections for parents so that their marijuana use cannot be used against them. Indeed, California's Prop 64 includes within it protection for medical marijuana patients and their child custody rights. But this idea of Angelina Jolie's that it's somehow a bad influence or a bad environment is not backed up by science, by studies, or even by anecdote. We see plenty of cannabis-consuming parents who are good, thoughtful, responsible parents who raise wonderful children. The only dangerous environment that is created by one parent's use of cannabis is the possibility that police may break down the door and start firing their weapons inside and putting the children in danger that way. But for a couple like Brad and Angelina, first of all, I would assume that they're living in California, where Brad Pitt could very easily have a medical recommendation for the use of cannabis. And a state that's going to be legalizing cannabis and legalizing it with parental protections seems to me to be a state that doesn't find cannabis use to be that big of a problem for parents. The other problem that I've got with Angelina Jolie's attitude in this respect is her splitting up the family and removing these kids' father from their lives, even if it's only a somewhat, you know, a partial, if they've got, you know, shared custody or part-time visitation or whatever, you're still taking a man out of his kids' lives, a father out of their kids' lives, over his use of marijuana, which does not seem to be causing Brad Pitt any problems professionally or legally or economically in any way. Shame on you, Angelina Jolie, for blaming Brad Pitt's pot use for the problems in your marriage. And my condolences to Brad Pitt as a man who's going to be, whose family is going to be impacted by this.
I smelled some marijuana smoke in Vietnam.
Well, that sound means that it's 420 in the mountain time zone. So happy 420 to our friends in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where the city has just issued cease and desist letters to 8 cannabis lounges that have been in operation there. When are these people going to get the idea that we need a place to smoke? Maybe we can invite Brad Pitt to join us.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strains stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
While the feds and state are doing their dance, you still need to transact business and manage your cash. Go professional and let your customers pay with PayQuick. They pay you and they earn rewards points. PayQuick connects to your bank account for free and secures all of your transactions. And with PayQuick, you can pay your producers and processors for free. Plus, it pays to have it because it makes depositing your cash safe and so easy. No cops, no crooks, just compliance and comfort, knowing you have your cannabis business in check with PayQuick. PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
St. Peter auditioning to be the Microsoft weed software spokesman.
Hey, this is St. Peter for Microsoft. They track weed. Does that mean they're going to, like, track the weed? Is that what this is about, Jesus? I'm not going to be tracked, Jesus. I'm not going to have my fucking weed tracked. And I'm not going to have fucking Microsoft track me back to my fucking house through my weed to where they fucking spied on people with that goddamn Xbox camera. Fuck this. Fuck Microsoft. Fuck this bullshit.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
You're going to find really wonderful, well-meaning, well-spoken people, and then people that are just batshit crazy.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Marijuana legalization is a worldwide phenomenon. Get yourself positioned for the global cannabis marketplace by attending the International Cannabis Business Conference in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. You'll learn from established cannabis professionals, elected officials, and internationally recognized marijuana law reform activists. You'll also enjoy the ICBC's famous VIP party featuring ICBC special guest speaker and Canadian native Tommy Chong. The ICBC is happening in Vancouver on Thursday and Friday, October 13th and 14th at the Hyatt Regency. Log on to internationalcbc.com today to reserve your tickets. That's internationalcbc.com, and bookmark our page for the next ICBCs taking place in Berlin, Germany and San Francisco, California. Don't miss the International Cannabis Business Conference, internationalcbc.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, we take a look at the world of finance and we revisit a subject that we talked about last week, and that has to do with the involvement of the alcohol industry in efforts to squash marijuana legalization throughout the United States. There was an article in The Intercept, Lee Fong brought this up, that there have been some donations by some of these alcohol industry players to the campaigns against marijuana legalization, opening up the idea that alcohol, big booze, if you want to call them that, is somehow opposed to marijuana legalization. I questioned that myself when I noted that Colorado's alcohol tax revenues haven't seemed to have fluctuated much since they have legalized marijuana in the state. And I hypothesized that there isn't really a big problem for the alcohol companies in the legalization of marijuana, despite these few investment or these few donations by some alcohol players. Well, following up on this story is the website The Motley Fool at fool.com. They're an investment website. People that play the stock market to read up on this site for their tips. And the title of the article is, "Does Marijuana Legalization Really Have to Worry About the Alcohol Industry?" And it brings up some very good points for perspective on this. First of all, according to opensecrets.org, the beer, wine, and liquor industry has spent around $100 million in the last 5 years on their lobbying. All lobbying. In 2016, they've dropped $14 million on lobbying in this year alone. But so far, the only industry donation to fight marijuana legalization has happened in Massachusetts. And that was a donation of $25,000 raised by the state's Beer Distributors Political Action Committee. So $25,000 out of $14 million that have been spent on lobbying this year alone doesn't seem like a concerted effort by the alcohol industry to fight marijuana legalization. In fact, in Massachusetts, the total of the fundraising against the question for legalization there is $363,000. So they're not even a large chunk of the opponents in that one state, much less the entire national industry and nine different reform measures. The Health Foundation of Central Massachusetts, by comparison, spent $100,000 to fight legalization. The restaurant developers have kicked in $25,000, the same as the beer distributors, but nobody thinks restaurants are trying to kill legalization. In fact, when it comes down to the long-term prospects of the alcohol industry, there's only two companies that have even mentioned marijuana legalization, and that would be the Boston Beer Company, that's the Samuel Adams brand, the Angry Orchard cider brand, the Twisted Tea, alcoholic tea brands, do have something in their annual report filed with the SEC. They say, quote, "Certain states are considering or have passed laws and regulations that allow the sale and distribution of marijuana. It is possible that legal marijuana usage could adversely impact the demand for the company's products," end quote. And the other company that has mentioned it, Brown-Forman, they are the owners of Jack Daniels and I think Finlandia Vodka as well. They list marijuana legalization near the bottom of their items that could cause a shift in consumer preferences. They rank economic conditions, demographic trends, social trends, public health policies, changes in regulation as much higher problems for them than the legalization of marijuana. So only two companies have really even considered this, and even in considering it, they don't put much into the fear of marijuana legalization. If you check the huge mega corporations involved in alcohol, that would be Anheuser-Busch InBev, right? They're the Budweiser folks, SAB Miller, you know, Miller Beer and so forth, and Molson Coors, the Molson beers, the Coors Light, all of that, and Diageo and other brewers, distillers, and distributors, none of them are even mentioning marijuana legalization as a concern. They're more concerned about the possibility of regulations being a problem. Alcohol taxes, alcohol regulations and restrictions is much more of a concern to the alcohol industry right now than marijuana legalization is. Now, the fight for marijuana legalization, I believe, doesn't have that much to fear from alcohol. And in the fight for legalization, there have even been efforts to address the concerns and to deal with and mitigate
the possibility of the alcohol industry getting involved. The most prominent example would be MPP's initiative in Nevada. Now, in the state of Nevada, this is kind of a special circumstance because of their casino industry and the widespread use of alcohol in that state and the power that the alcohol industry has as a lobby in Nevada. Because of that, MPP wrote the initiative so that the distribution of cannabis will be handled, the licensing will be given priority to the alcohol distributors. They actually bought them off. They bought off the alcohol distributors so that they wouldn't be opposed to the legalization in the state of Nevada. So don't fret, folks. You can still enjoy your microbrew, your hard cider, your hard lemonade, whatever it is you like to enjoy that contains alcohol, without worrying that you're contributing to some fight against legal marijuana.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestea trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
The political climate is at a fever pitch, and the fight for the social fabric of America is set for battle this November. Tuesday, November 8th, the Cannabis Liberation Movement takes a huge step forward, and Cannabis Radio is here to chronicle this legendary moment. CannabisRadio.com and the Cannabis Radio News team will feature wall-to-wall live coverage of all the coast-to-coast voting of state amendments, ballots, propositions, and initiatives that will further progress the cannabis crusade. Join us November 8th for Vote 2016, the path to cannabis freedom, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're listening to Cannabis Radio News' exclusive coverage of Vote 2016, the path to cannabis freedom, only on CannabisRadio.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone. As we continue our look at the 2016 election, we have nine different states that we have to cover this November. And one of them that came as a total surprise to me is the great state of North Dakota. We don't often hear much when it comes to marijuana activism coming out of the Great Plains states, but it's really good to have them on the ballot this year. Joining me here to talk about this is Ray Morgan, and he wants to talk about this North Dakota Compassionate Care Act of 2016. Ray, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon or good morning, Russ, it's a pleasure to be with you today.
Yes, thank you for joining us, and we're excited about the possibility of medical marijuana in North Dakota. Tell us a little bit about the specifics of this Compassionate Care Act, things like, will there be home grow cultivation? What conditions are qualifying and so forth?
Okay. We have about 10 different conditions that we'll be able to use medical cannabis for, basically cancer, Crohn's disease, chronic pain, Alzheimer's, AIDS, a few others. There is a provision. These will all be made available should the bill pass through dispensaries in the state. However, there is a provision that does allow people that live outside of a 40-mile radius of where a dispensary is located to technically grow their own. And they have has to be into a locked and closed facility. Mm-hmm. They don't have to do this. They can have a surrogate grower do this for them, and the surrogate growers can do grow for up to five people. Hmm. This was a provision that we put in because, you know, North Dakota is a fairly spacious state, and you know, in the middle of winter, if you're driving from Crosby, North Dakota to Bismarck, North Dakota, which is maybe a four and a half hour drive, you know, you might run into weather conditions that, you know, might not be very favorable. The other thing, too, is that in some cases, we're going to have people who, you know, may not be the wealthiest people in the world, because obviously medical insurance is not going to take care of this. So we kind of thought, you know, this might be an opportunity for some people who may not be able to afford buying this to maybe grow their own as well, too, and might be a little bit more financially doable for them.
So we are talking about a law that will have a dispensary system. People will be able to access herbal cannabis. Will they be able to use the raw flower and be able to smoke it or vaporize it?
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's there will be, the dispensaries. Well, the way that it's set up is that a nonprofit organization will basically control the growing, the dispensing, but also to, you know, whether they decide to do, edibles or transdermal patches or oils, they would have control of processing and manufacturing of those.
Gotcha. Now, so we established that only the patients that live 40 miles away from a dispensary are going to be able to grow their own cannabis. So for the people, the patients that do live within 40 miles, do they have to just pick one dispensary? Do you have to register for a dispensary, or can they just choose anyone that happens to be nearby?
Well, you can choose anyone that happens to be, you know, nearby. You know, you will have obviously a prescription card that will be given to you by your doctor or your physician's assistant, whatever the case might be.
Gotcha.
And you have to understand, Russ, too, North Dakota is not a huge state, so there's probably only going to be probably maybe across the state, maybe four dispensaries in the major cities, which are Fargo, Grand Forks, Bismarck, and Minot.
Right.
We're just not that huge a state when you're talking 750,000 people.
Right, exactly. And as far as the registry, you've got a registry where patients will sign up and get a card. What is the cost on that registry? And will North Dakota recognize other states' cards if people are visiting?
The cost of the cards at $20 per year, which we felt was pretty reasonable. We are not going to recognize people. We're not going to make this reciprocal with other states, unfortunately, but it's relatively inexpensive to get a card. It's just that we have to persuade doctors now that medical marijuana is something that should be looked at
Gotcha.
For their patients.
Now, this this vote for the North Dakota Compassionate Care Act of 2016, it's happening here in November. And, you know, I'm calling you from the state of Oregon, where we've, you know, been involved in the marijuana issue for decades. And I imagine it's got to be a lot different in North Dakota trying to campaign for this issue. Has it been difficult for you? Has it been difficult to get across to North Dakotans that this is about medicine and not just, you know, trying to get people high?
Yes, it is. It's, you know, we're a conservative state. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. The Midwest, as people well know across the country, that, you know, we're fairly conservative here. I do think, though, that, you know, and I think the tide is slowly turning. We have had with our, you know, with our signature gathering to get this measure on the ballot, you know, we've had 120 people across the state that gathered some 18,000 signatures, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it is a lot for North Dakota. And, you know, I right now, we have not had any real opposition. There's been some law enforcement that have questioned whether this is a good thing or not, but we haven't seen the medical profession come out against it, nor have we seen a lot of, you know, sheriff's departments or police associations come out against it thus far. So I'm cautiously optimistic going forward. The MPP, Medical Marijuana, or the Marijuana Policy Project, is actually going to be doing a poll here very soon for us. They are starting to get a little bit more involved with our efforts as well, too.
That's good to hear.
I hadn't
seen any polling come out of North Dakota for years. So I was just wondering, you know, how the prospects were looking for the vote.
Yeah, we don't have anything concrete yet as far as polling data goes. We have some old polls which show that, you know, a fairly large percentage of North Dakotans were in favor of medical marijuana, but those were about a couple of years old. So it's I think, you know, like I say, we're cautiously optimistic about our prospects.
What's the official ballot number or initiative number up there in North Dakota?
It's going to be ballot number 5.
Okay. So I want to encourage everyone out there who has relatives or friends in North Dakota to inform them, let them know ballot number 5 is up for medical marijuana. They need to be registered. They need to vote on November 8th to make sure that we can bring this wonderful medicine to the great people of North Dakota. Before I let you go, Ray, is there any other like websites or contact information that would help our listeners to help you?
Yep, we have our Facebook page, which is North Dakota Compassionate Care 2016. Also, our web page is ndcca2016.org. If anybody would like to contribute to our campaign, we'd certainly appreciate it.
All right, that sounds good. Ray Morgan, up there in North Dakota, working on the North Dakota Compassionate Care Act 2016. It's ballot number 5 on the North Dakota ballot this November election. Ray, thanks for calling into the show, and we wish you the best of luck up there in North Dakota.
Thanks, Russ. We'll keep you posted on election night to let you know how things went.
My thanks to Ray Morgan, and good luck to the folks up there in North Dakota getting medical marijuana passed this election season. When we come back, we've got Doug Fine joining us for our Hemp Day Hump Day update, the latest news in industrial hemp all across the country. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show live from beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. We're back in just 2 minutes.
This is The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
Let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seed, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Himping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh, yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me own crops, you know. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
CannabisRadio.com keeps you in the know Monday through Friday on air and on demand with Cannabis Radio News. Presented with the definitive worldwide news source, the Associated Press. Stay informed with exclusive news on all things cannabis. Cannabis Radio News, live weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, during the Russ Belville Show, or download the daily podcast exclusively on CannabisRadio.com, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. When breaking news happens in the cannabis industry, Cannabis Radio News delivers the details first.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Marijuana legalization also ushers in the return of the American hemp industry. Get the latest news from the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail, Doug Fine, in our Hemp Day Hump Day update.
Welcome back, everybody, to this fine Wednesday. It's a Hemp Day Hump Day, and joining us on the phone, we've got Doug Fine on the line. How you doing, Doug?
Oh, man, in bliss. It's harvest season, Russ. American hemp harvest season. How about that?
I know. That I couldn't wait to get you on the line because I knew we were right smack dab in the middle of the harvest, and you'd be telling us of all the states that are cultivating hemp across the country. What's the latest? How's harvest going?
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. So I'm in the middle of filming several harvests before heading to my own project's harvest in Vermont. And it just keeps going from there. But I'll tell you, here in Colorado, where I'm filming now for the hemp television series Growing Season, I was at a farm a few days ago that is cultivating more acreage at 1,250 than the entire United States cultivated 2 years ago. Mm. This game is on. This game is on. And it's just a pleasure to watch. Also here in Colorado was the Hemp Industries Association conference this week, and it was a real deal. It was farmers looking for processors and people seeking standards and all the things you expect in an industry that's growing really, really fast. Next for me is off to Vermont for harvest season of the three-family, 23-acre hemp farm of which I am part, and I can't wait for that. It's time, and it's my young son's first hemp harvest. They're planting. It's going to be great.
That's amazing. So we know Colorado, Vermont. I know they're harvesting hemp here in Oregon. How many states in the U.S. right now have hemp crops in the ground that are going to be harvested this season?
You know, the difference between places that have hemp crops in the ground and the places that have significant amount of acreage is significant. I mean, if you want to add every place where there is at least a single plant or a single field, then probably, I mean, we have up 31 states with hemp legislation in the ground this season, as many as a dozen, I would say, and, you know, 6 to 8 significant. Those being Oregon, Vermont, Colorado, Kentucky, Tennessee, and who else might I be forgetting? But it is coming. It is coming online fast because some states are taking that cautious approach and only allowing it to be tiny in year one. They're choosing to not hear the reality from year one, but inevitably, it's like, you know, it's win-win for everybody. Almost every place by year two is gates open.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, in with respect to the cautious approach being taken, we've got a question from our live chat room that asks, considering that the USDA had their recent statement on hemp, would it be better for hemp to stay 100% compliant with the federal law, or should we move toward hemp production being more like medical marijuana, where we ignore the federal law and do it state by state, regardless of what the feds happen to say?
Those are both legitimate choices. Personally, as a proud American and as a proud hemp farmer, I try to honor the law, and the law of the land is federal law. So therefore, with our hemp program, our intent is to follow federal law as well as state law, follow all laws. And so, for instance, we don't have sales this year. We have market research. And for those who may be, you know, laughing in terms of like, the nuance of the ridiculousness of the end of probation, of course. I mean, but, you know, when God puts, you have a right to the plants and herbs in chapter one of the Bible, if you're a religious person, to talk about anything other than this good thing is good is, to me, counter to my spiritual framework. That said, I was visiting and speaking in North Carolina the other day, and a friend of mine from Kentucky, a Kentucky farmer, was walking alongside me, and I made this comment about, yeah, we've got a lot of market research interest in our Vermont crops. I said, because it's, you know, market research. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she said, it is market research. And it is. It really is. Thank you, federal government, for forcing us to figure out these markets and how they work. So we're excited about that. That said, we got tons of flower seed and fiber, so give us a call in Vermont, folks.
No doubt about it. Now, the corollary to that question, you know, as far as should we proceed cautiously, would be the risk that we might be taking. Do you have any fears of the DEA conducting raids on hemp farms this year?
Well, after meeting Aung San Suu Kyi in Burma, I realized fear, there's, you know, you have to live without fear in general. But personally, I feel confident about it. So, for instance, we're talking with one state now about supplying some of our seeds from our program to their program farmers through a state agriculture department, actually many states. But in this one particular state, they've consulted at the highest level, and their attorney general considers it completely an acceptable risk and a totally awesome, cool thing to allow that kind of thing, as in sync with all federal laws. There's, I could get into the nuances of the federal laws that are applicable or potentially applicable here, but so that's fantastic when you have a state attorney general that's backing up your business strategy, your market research. That gives you some confidence that if there is going to be a target, it's going to be somebody else who's not choosing to be compliant with federal law. You know, in the end, these are just short-term issues. In the long run, we're talking about an already unstoppable industry, Russ. It's just growing by leaps and bounds. I'm thrilled to be part of it. I'm thrilled for my Vermont partners who are farming families, who need, like my family does, who need to make a living. And in their, you know, generational memory of farming in Vermont, they can't remember this much interest in a crop of theirs before harvest. So it's good.
That's great. Now, you were talking about these people being engaged in market research. Under that requirement of it being market research, do these farmers get to make any money, or do they just have to volunteer their work?
I think that when you're researching, you're allowed to pay researchers. I'm pretty sure about that. I mean, what I'm going by is, I don't think that people are required to be slaves because their job is researchers. Farmer entrepreneur researchers, but I'm not a legal expert on that question. But I will say is that the origins of this model came from the highest level of the Kentucky legal system, the state system in Kentucky, that several years ago said, it is market research, and allows Kentucky farmers to market research their crop, and they do all of it. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of acres in Kentucky this year. And there's been no federal pushback. Now, in that recent letter that the caller or the chat room folks mentioned, there was a question raised about that inaccurately in many opinions, and there's been quite a pushback against that recent letter. And again, it's all just speed bumps. We're just talking about the inevitable here. And for folks who like to follow the nuances, I guess it's better than Bradulina headlines. But don't worry about it. The only result is hemp by the thousands or even millions of acres within not too many years.
Oh, so looking forward to that. We're speaking with Doug Fine, the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail. Doug, we had spoken a few months back about the problems that farmers were having in securing hemp seed. They were importing it, and the DEA was given a bunch of problems. Can you update us on the status of hemp seed in America? And I know Colorado certified some of their hemp seeds. Are they going to be able to transport these seeds state to state so that these farmers can collaborate on some of these genetics?
Well, so a quick clarification. Colorado is beginning the process of certifying seed, which is fantastic. I got to give props to Dwayne Finning and the folks in the Colorado Ag Department who are rocking it and really want it to work, first of all, and to be a level playing field for farmers, whether they're independent farmers, big farmers, small farmers, or anything. And I hope also many states will follow. What we believe is that this is what I was talking about with the acceptable risk, that we should be able to move seeds to other state programs. That appears to be protected in federal law, and we're going to do it, with our respective states' involvement and full disclosure and awareness of everybody on all sides. And we think it's ridiculous and not according to law to, out of fear and rearview mirror nonsense, stop American entrepreneurs from providing seeds and force farmers to get them from abroad. That's insane, especially since we're pretty dang proud of our quality. I'm speaking from my Vermont group here. Our biggest issue now, we have experience with seed farmers from sunflowers and other seeds. They know what they're doing with the seeds to the max, my friends in our group. But what we're trying to figure out, me and everybody else I'm talking to, even at the Hemp Industry Association, going, dang, we're getting all this flower material, and it's beautiful. I mean, there's a balanced cannabinoid profile and lovely terpenes and what we've gotten. So it's like, oh my God, we've got tons of flower material. Collecting it is problem one. Market research, yeah, that's next, sure. It's day-to-day thinking on the fly, modifying combines, baby. This is not a test. This is not a drill. This is the birth of an industry that's good for America and good for the soil.
Doug Fine, you are the man when it comes to our Hemp Day Hump Day update, giving us all the latest information. So many people out there listening have some pretty detailed questions coming up, and we don't have the time to go over them right now, but is there a way people can contact you if they want to get some of your expertise and maybe take these subjects a little deeper?
Thank you. Yes. There's a contact button at DougFine.com. I see the, there are a bunch of people at the conference recently who said they tried that and didn't get through. I'll check it, but that's the best way, and to follow what I'm doing at Organic Cowboy on Twitter, at Organic Cowboy 2Cs, all one word.
All right. Well, Doug, thanks for calling in with us today, and we'll talk to you again in a couple weeks. And before we let you go, give my best to the goats and any goat updates for us.
Only that they're about to be fed American grown hemp protein cake. And for the rest of their lives, the rest of my family's budget from hemp is going from thousands of dollars to zero. And I'm pretty psyched about that.
That's fantastic news. Well, Doug, thanks for calling in again. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. And good luck on the harvest season.
Thank you, Russ. You're the best at what you do. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, man. Well, folks, that's all the time we got for our first hour. But stay tuned. Hour two is coming up next. Toker Talk Radio. Live phone lines are open at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 534-2565. 650-LEGAL-MJ. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ, live from Potland, Oregon. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.